So 1 John chapter 4, and taking up our reading at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. We'll now pray a short prayer before we consider that text. Our Lord and God, we pray for your blessing as we turn to the consideration of this part of your word, that we may each give due attention and heed to your words as we hear them. And keep us from presumption or superstition, and grant us humble hearts to receive your word. And also for me, as I proclaim your word, that each of us here might handle your word fittingly, with awe and with humility and with a gracious boldness. And Lord, you are our portion. We promise to keep your words. We entreat your favour with all our heart. So be gracious to us according to your promise. Cause us to think on our ways and turn our feet to your testimonies, that we would hasten and not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked may ensnare us, grant that we do not forget your law, that even at midnight we might rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. We are companions of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach us your statutes. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today we come to the third time in this short letter that John speaks about the need for believers to love one another. And this also in the context of Andrew's sermon last Sunday morning. You might therefore be tempted to think that the session is suggesting that love is in need of some specific attention among us. But John has worked through the three profession of faith tests twice already. Firstly, there was the moral test. Genuine believers love to obey God's commandments. Then there was the social test. Genuine believers love their brothers and sisters. And there was the theological test. Genuine believers love the truth about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John is still going to summarise the three tests one more time in the opening part of chapter 5. But before he does that, John returns again with a lot to say and some real force on the importance of our loving one another. Now, as we think about it, the first test has to do with obeying God's commandments, right? But the Lord Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." So, if we love one another, we are obeying God's commandment. Therefore, the second and the first profession of faith tests combine in the command that we love one another. And with the new command to love one another, Jesus pointed to himself as the reason for and the example of this love. He said, "Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." So the third profession of faith test, that we love the truth and the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, is also an essential part of our love for one another. This means then that the extra attention that John gives here to the second profession of faith test is not in any way ignoring or downgrading the importance of obedience and of theology. The fact is that obedience and theology are essential parts of our love for one another. However, it still remains that just as it might be reasonable for you to suspect that these sermons on love might mean that love needs some specific attention here in Rivette, the fact that John returns a third time to this matter of loving brothers and sisters is revealing and instructive. First of all, for the church of John's time, but also for the church right down through the ages through which God has preserved this letter, and even to us right here and now. The believers John wrote to had resisted the false doctrine of the Gnostics and had not fallen into loose living. But did they love each other? Did they really love one another? And if we think about church history, when theological controversy comes along, what is the first thing that often flies out the window in this very necessary and difficult process? It is a love for others. People become absorbed with the finer points of doctrine and procedure, but do not give nearly as much attention to love. It is in John 13 that we find Jesus' new commandment, that we love one another. Do you remember what he said next? He said, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So our love for one another is the thing that marks us out as Jesus' disciples. So is there this love among us? Is it obvious that we are a congregation of Jesus' disciples? Thus, let's think more about these things as Pastor John returns again to the importance of loving one another. There are two main sections in this message, which you'll see outlined in the order of service before you. In verses 7 through 11, we find three powerful reasons why we should love one another. And then in verses 12 to 21, we discover the two precious benefits of loving one another. So first of all, those three powerful reasons why we must love one another. And the first one is the very nature of God. We read, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God." And then at the end of verse 8, "God is love." Now one of the most wonderful things to study in the Bible is the character of God. God has revealed much about who he is in the Bible. And there are a few places, like this one, where we read that God is something. So we know that God is spirit, and we know that God is truth, and we know that God is a consuming fire, but here we see that God is love. So love is an essential part of God's being. Now the language that the Bible often uses to describe becoming a Christian is to be born again. God sends his Holy Spirit into a person's heart and changes his or her essential being and nature. He regenerates his people. He gives them new life. And that is the point here, because God is love and because love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So when we behave in an unloving way, we are not being true to who we are. We are living as though we have no connection with God. It's kind of like the person who uses a false surname. His real name is Smith, but they tell everyone that it is Jones. And this means that no one can connect him with Mr. Smith Sr. No one will say he is just like his dad. So we must love one another for the sake of our witness to the world. That is how they know that we are his people. We must love one another then because of the nature of God. And we ought to love those whom God loves, our brothers and sisters, those whom Christ loves, those for whom Christ also gave himself. And this ought to point others to God as we reflect or live out and demonstrate his love for us in our love for one another. But the second reason why we should love one another is that it comes to us as the gift of God. So verse 9 says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now, according to John 3:16, why did God give his only begotten Son? Because he so loved the world. And Ephesians 2, verse 4 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, made us alive with Christ." Underneath and behind the whole work of salvation in Jesus Christ is the great love of God. And so great is his love for us, he sent his only Son into the world. Now, it doesn't even come close as an illustration, but can you imagine sending your only child, a dearly loved child, to live far away in an enemy land? Well, the Father sent his only Son, the Son with whom he enjoyed daily and precious and intimate fellowship with, away to the earth. But not only did he send his only Son to earth, he sent him there to die. He said, "Go, Son, go and live among them, and then go to the cross, where I will forsake you and smite you and afflict you and wound you and crush you with all my eternal wrath until you die." Further, not only did he send his only Son to earth to die, he sent him to die for sinners. Earlier I quoted from Ephesians 2 in connection with God's great love. Here is the rest of that verse. "But God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses." Now, we might sometimes hear about lawyers or celebrities going to extraordinary lengths to try and get the sentence of someone in prison overturned, someone who they think is innocent and doesn't deserve to be there. But what about those who are clearly guilty? The child murdering, wife beating, rapist. Does anyone try to get him out of prison? No. Well, God's great love for us is seen in that God sent his only Son to die for the spiritual equivalent of the child murdering, wife beating rapists. For outside of Christ, that is what we are: dead in our trespasses, hostile, hateful enemies of God. Verse 10 says, "God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And that is a word that we don't come across often and needs explaining. Propitiation and expiation are the two parts of Jesus' work on the cross. Pro means to or toward, and ex means out or away. So expiation, Jesus takes our sins upon himself and pays the penalty for them. Propitiation, Jesus looks to God and takes his eternal wrath and the punishment due to us upon himself, to appease the Father for us. And the end result of this amazing love, as Romans 5 verse 1 tells us, is that we have peace with God. And so we come to verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Because of the gift of God, his giving his only Son to die for us, his chosen sinners, we also ought to love one another. Well, that brings us to verse 12, which introduces the next main section of this passage. But before we consider that section, something we have already mentioned is seen here as the third reason why we must love one another. And we see it in the opening words of this verse. No one has ever seen God. Now, we might reflect on the musings of the first man in space, the Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin, who is said to have commented after his space flight, "I didn't see God out there." Now, there are a lot of things we could say about his comment, but at a very simple level, what he said matches what John says here. No one has ever seen God. But the astounding and breathtaking point that John is making here is that God can be seen in his children. Yuri Gagarin was foolish to think that if he travelled far enough into space, he could park his spaceship in heaven and he could see God. But if Yuri Gagarin had gone into a church and seen the brothers and sisters loving each other, he would see the love of God. It's the same point we noted earlier from the words of Jesus. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Yes, there is a place for apologetics and for learning gospel presentations and so on, but the strongest witness we can proclaim to the world is our love for one another. These, then, are the three powerful reasons why we must love one another. Because of the nature of God, because of the gift of God, and because such love is a strong witness to the world. But such love is a powerful witness to ourselves also, as we look at the remaining verses and see the two precious benefits of loving one another. And they are summarized in verse 12, as John says, "If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." And verse 13 takes up the first of these precious benefits as we read, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us." So the first precious benefit of loving one another is that by it we know that God abides in us. Do you want to know and be sure that you are a Christian? Well, one way to be sure is to find that you truly love your brothers and sisters. You see, you will only love your brothers and sisters if the Holy Spirit lives in you, as we see at the end of verse 13. Now, can one of you boys or girls tell us what the first fruit of the Spirit is from Galatians 5? It is, of course, love. And verses 14 to 16 fill out or explore this wonderful truth even more. We know from John and the other apostles that the Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. And this is what we read in the Bible. "And whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God." Well, we have already seen that behind and underneath the whole work of salvation is God's love for sinners. And it is this undeserved love for us that has so attracted us to him. And that's what verse 16 is describing. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. We have come to know and believe that God is love. It is the love of God that draws us to believe in Jesus Christ. So if my life is a reflection of God's love to me in Jesus Christ, if I love my brothers and sisters as God has loved me in Jesus Christ, this can only be of the Holy Spirit. Thus I know that I abide in God and that God abides in me. And that's the first precious benefit of loving my brothers and sisters. I can be sure that God abides in me. Now, the second precious benefit of loving one another we see in verses 17 through 21, and it is that this is how God's love is perfected in us. And what we read here has to do with the day of judgment. And it is not a popular teaching of the Bible, but it is one of the topics that the Lord Jesus devoted so many of his words to in the Gospels. There is going to be a day of judgment for everyone at the end of time. Now let's be very clear on this. The basis of our salvation is the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We contribute nothing to our salvation. We cannot earn even 1% of our salvation by what we do. It is all of Jesus. We do not fear the day of judgment because Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. We have peace with God. But we may also face the day of judgment with confidence, because as we read at the end of verse 17 and into 18, as he is, so also are we in this world. Christ is in us. We are one in Christ as believers. We really can be like the Lord Jesus in terms of our loving of our brothers and sisters. And here is a very simple illustration of what is being taught here. Now, you boys and girls, perhaps the older ones, are left at home with your siblings while your parents duck down to the shops. And while they're away, you squabble and fight, and maybe you even break something. Are you looking forward to Mum and Dad arriving back home? But if you behaved well, maybe even did some tidying up while they were out, or you put a load of washing on, or started to prepare dinner, something that you know they would appreciate, even something that demonstrates your love for them, then do you look forward to their return? You most certainly do. Well, our love for our brothers and sisters will never be perfect in this life. Nevertheless, as we see in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. While our love is not perfect, as in being as good and consistent, as complete as it could be, it is the perfect love of God. It is the love that is from God. And because we see it in ourselves, we can be confident that on the day of judgment, God will say, I recognize you. You look like my son. I see my love in you. So this too is a precious benefit of loving others. Well, we have considered three powerful reasons why we should love one another, and two precious benefits of loving one another. And John concludes with these words, if anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. Now, it's probably the natural inclination of most of us to think that it's easy to love God simply because he is worthy of our love. And it's difficult to love our brothers and sisters because they can be so unlovable, so unworthy, so undeserving of our love. But John smacks that sort of thinking right between the eyes. He would have us see that unless we are really loving our brothers and sisters, that is on the horizontal level, we are deceiving ourselves in regard to what we consider to be our love for God, that is on the vertical level. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now, earlier in the service, we read from Hosea, and Hosea's love for Gomer is a perfect illustration of the kind of love we are talking about. He was to marry and love a woman whom he knows will constantly leave the marriage bed for the beds of other men. And each time he has to go and find her and bring her back and love her. Now, if you are thinking that this sounds disgusting, and how could God get Hosea to do that? Remember that you are a Gomer. You are an unfaithful, idolatrous, half-hearted, self-absorbed sinner who is so easily wanders away from the Lord. But such is his love for you in Christ that he dealt with all your sins once for all on the cross. And he continually restores you every time you fall into the whoredom of sin by leading you to confess your sins and seek his forgiveness. Now all this brings us right back to where we started. What is love like here in our midst? Does our love for one another look like God's love for us? The love of the world is deserved love. You be nice to me, or give me something, and I'll be kind to you. I will love you if I feel like it. But the love of God is undeserved love. I will be kind and gentle and compassionate and serve you even when you do not deserve it. I will turn the other cheek. I will go the extra mile. You are my blood-bought child. Is that how we all love one another? Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, in response to these words, we pray that you grow our love for you and our obedience to you, particularly in our love for one another, as we seek to be like you in our sanctification and holiness, that we might reflect your character more and more to our brothers and sisters, as well as to all those who observe this community of your people. But not so that people will look to us and merely think, they're nice people, but that they might look to us and see in us some reflection of your character, some outworking of your love for us, and some display of your grace in us, and some evidence of our gratitude to you, that they may see you, and that as you have freely given to us, we do likewise to our brothers and sisters. And so help us to be attentive and perceptive to the needs of our brothers and sisters, and not just in our thoughts or in our intentions, but in action, in words of comfort and in prayer. And that as you equip us for obedience in this, that we might increasingly know that you abide in us, and that your love might be perfected and completed in us and through us. And forgive us our sins where this has not been so. And we pray it for your glory and your praise. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen.